I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're about to find out. This is going to be the most headline-grabbing edition of the C-Block starring Corey Majors, or if he's a coward.
If you missed the fight Kevin and I had earlier today, go check out Twitter or X, if you want to call it X.
I don't.
X. There is it's at KNC 105.3. Bobby took a video that we did and turned it into a all-on brawl. What I was surprised about, and I guess because the AI couldn't do it, was that Alec didn't come flying in like off the turnbuckle or something from somewhere.
That would be cool.
If Bobby, if you could make that happen,
I'm sure that he can.
I will repost it because I feel like that was missing. And then Aiden comes in and he rips off his shirt and he's got a referee shirt on underneath it and he counts down. See, there's lots of things we could have done with this. All right, guys, it is time for the level of concern. Your level of concern after I read this about where the Cowboys stand on this free agency.
Oh,
period.
No.
Jane Slater has tweeted, Kevin. For the insatiable Cowboys fans asking what's next. Quote, per team source, not a lot going on. But, she said she did ask about Tariq Woolen. Sounds like it's more evaluating, discussing right now, but he's not their list of due diligence.
Because I was going to say, I feel like when we had that discussion,
true fit was a big deal.
Yeah, overwhelmingly in support of that.
Yes. True fit, and he is not the fit for this specific type of defense. So they're just trying to see, can we fit him into it? But not necessarily we have to get this done.
Right.
She said, as I reported yesterday about the N'Kobe Dean thing, we'll skip ahead because it hurt my feelings. Mm. As for Patrick Queen, didn't feel unanimous in the building, and therefore the team isn't interested in reaching to fill a position of need.
Wow.
How do you feel about that, though?
I do actually really like that because, especially at a time that I know there are plenty of people who think that they overpaid in the trade yesterday, I like the idea that they were like, if people aren't really feeling it, like, why give up another asset just to check a box? It's kind of like what one of our old bosses said. Don't just fill up your run sheet with, like, Cowboys and not know where you're going to go. That's a huge mistake. And that feels like something that the Cowboys just avoided.
Yeah, put Cowboys on there and then a couple different branches to get the thing going. But, yeah, I now this is where there are probably some other people out there that predicted the Cowboys would do nothing. And they're like, see, now they're making excuses to do nothing.
Right.
They're using not everybody in the building likes this person as an excuse to not pay them, which I don't see that. But I just don't think Christian Parker would take this job thinking I'm never going to get the pieces. It's not going to matter. I think he thought they're going to load up for me as best as they can, and I better do my job to make sure I have the right players. Otherwise, I'm going to fail too.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I don't have the players, I'm going to fail. So I think that's what's happening. The point is, she said they will spend if the player makes sense/sense for them. They seem to be putting
they'll
a premium
spend the
on
dollars if it makes sense.
Familiarity with scheme, versatility, and ready to play now. So they want somebody that's ready to play now. Now, to Trey Hendrickson, she says.
Oh.
I do think Trey Hendrickson is something they are watching, but injury concern and over-evaluation of value is factor here. Like other teams seem, they just want to monitor what the market says. So, Kevin, that kind of tells us everything we've discussed so far is right in line with what they're thinking. It is value of market and age and injury, like what? Right. How was that back last year? Is that going to be a problem if we pay you $33 million? We're paying you $33 million to be here for the year and work, not to get here and then be like, well, it's hurt again.
Okay, because, and that's like what the Bengals hope, right?
Yes.
Because if you ignore last year, it's a clear no-brainer because you're like, okay, go back to 2020, 13 and a half sacks, then 14 sacks, then 8, then 17 and a half, then 17 and a half. And he had at least one forced fumble every single one of those years. And except for one, he had multiple forced fumbles every single year. And it feels like a no-brainer. And then you have to look, not motivated, Trey Hendrickson gets hurt, is mediocre. Well, maybe a little bit more mediocre when he does play, and you're like, am I paying for that? That doesn't feel like a good idea.
The Texans are signing former Colts offensive tackle Braden Smith to a 2-year, $20 million deal, according to Ian Rappaport. He can also play guard. Kevin, that's one of the guys that when we were doing this offseason thing, you had given me an offensive lineman, and I said, can I get this one instead?
Yeah.
The Texans, who clearly still need to facilitate their offensive line, because as Stroud has had troubles last year in the playoffs too. I know he wasn't good, but that offensive line was not good either. So that's a smart move on their part to get Braden Smith there. And then this note coming in from Jonathan Jones.
The fighter?
Is this the fighter, Jonathan Jones?
No, it's John.
Oh my gosh, what's happening here?
Do we need to go back?
As of
down?
This morning, there were teams I spoke with who said the gap between what he wanted, I think this is Hendrickson, and what they were willing to pay was close to $10 million.
See, there you go. When we talked about if he's going to have to come off his price, well, whatever it is, going to have to go down.
So we all feel like that number is 33. So teams are willing to spend 23 on him.
I actually think it could be even a little higher. I 25. Think it's 35, yeah.
Okay, so you feel like 10. Wow, that's a lot.
I told you right now, Trey Hendrickson, 1 year, $26
million. 1 year, 26? Do it.
Two for 54? I upped it just a little bit.
I would do that.
Okay.
Because if I really want to take advantage of this 2 year
sure.
window,
then now, you can yeah
three for in the 30 range. Come on,
because we talked about 3 for $99 was the projection.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I probably sit at that, Kevin.
Okay,
right now.
Gotcha.
The level of concern for Team USA. They only had a 1-5 run inning yesterday, and never added any more runs in the game. Kevin, this has got to be tough on us. It was just two home runs that scored our runs.
Mm.
I feel like we should have beaten Mexico even more yesterday. I was scared at times.
It's the first time we beat them in the World Baseball Classic in 20 years.
It's good for us.
That's true.
Really good starting pitching really put us in a good position there, because if your starting pitching gave up a couple runs in that game, your bullpen didn't do a good enough job. But the one thing I will say I do have a level of concern for is very high, Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper had an error at first base, which...
Not elite.
Okay, can you say that the throw tailed on him? Yes. You got to keep going with that ball, though. You got to read that one. And he just hit the tip of his glove and bounced around. That was unfortunate. But he also had 3 strikeouts. 1 hit, 3 strikeouts. Kevin... You're giggling about him not being elite.
No, I'm actually giggling about something else. I'm going to ask for the first time ever if I can submit a level of concern. But I get it. That's fair.
Also, somebody did
not elite.
Text in Sean. He says he's actually the singer on our Best Buy windows and siding commercials. He said, please trust me when I tell you there are 3 Equalizer movies and they each get better with each movie.
Oh,
check them out ASAP, Sean. Thank you for your time and your service to us.
Best Buy windows. I like it. Corey, for the first time ever, may I ask if I can submit a level of concern?
After this one.
Okay.
You're concerned for the Seattle Mariners' future as Randy Arozarena...
He's so mad.
...offered a handshake to Cal Raleigh, in which Cal Raleigh just looked at him and was like, what are you doing right now? Arozarena steps into the box and reaches down to shake Cal Raleigh's hand, and Cal Raleigh just looked up at him and was like, no. And he said, this is Arozarena on Luis Gilbert's ex-Twitter. he had a conversation. He was like, look, the only thing he should be thankful for is having such great parents, talking about, and he said he's very well educated. Thank God I was lucky enough to see them a few days ago at the hotel. They came over to greet me, gave me a big hug, genuinely proud to see me again. Then he launched into profanity-laced criticism, suggesting Raleigh should F off and go to hell.
Oh, my goodness.
That good to see you that he said to me, he can shove it straight up his, I'm out. Now, it sounds very vulgar, sounds very intrusive, based on what he said about that thing. But is he really mad? Is what I wanted. Like, these are teammates. If Kevin and I had a moment like that, in live TV in front of everybody.
We'll do it live.
And then I started talking so much S afterwards, I think Kevin would be like, dude, that was really funny.
I could see
just
that.
Just because we've been teammates long enough. I don't know if Rosarena and Raleigh have been teammates long enough for them to have that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny. That being said, hey, man, you shake hands after the game or before the game? We're in the middle of a game.
Yeah. I got to tell you, man, I hate that in a fight. Where at the beginning of the last round, they go and hug. I'm like, no, do that at the end of the round. I get it. It's a war. The fight clock has started.
Mm-hmm.
Hug in 5 minutes.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that's kind of how we're competing against countries. We can shake hands after competition.
Yes.
But we are trying to defeat each other. Now, there is this other prevailing theory out there that maybe he didn't want to get any pine tar on his hand and then get pine tar on the ball and then throw it back to the pitcher and then Paul Skeens get ejected. It would have been awesome if Paul Skeens did use pine tar.
What an amazing thought ahead.
I don't think that's a real thing.
Okay.
But disappointing. I kind of have a little more respect for my MVP, Cal Raleigh, after not giving a handshake to his own teammate in real life where he gets paid lots of money.
I feel like my level of concern for the Mariners is pretty high.
Could that break up them?
I love it.
I do too.
Which is because it's high, but also low because I want them to fail.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm a little confused.
Kevin, it is now your turn to present your level of concern.
What is your level of concern, Corey and Alec, that Tom Brady doesn't know when people have died? So this morning, Tom Brady, in his newsletter, wrote that Tim McCarver died last week.
Oh, no.
Tim McCarver died on February 16th of 2023. And Tom Brady...
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. He wrote a tribute to Tim McCarver in his newsletter for somebody who died 3 years ago. And then, 35 minutes later, a new edition of this newsletter came out and said it was a proofreading error. And that he'd actually died 3 years ago. In that 35 minutes.
On that day?
Yes.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
No. What?
No, on that day 3 years ago, and they forgot to put that on there?
No. He's saying that he meant to write that Tim McCarver had died February 16th.
Yeah, Tom Brady doesn't know how to write. Okay.
2023. I don't believe that. I think.
Why would he bring that?
I think. Why would he pen a tribute to that person? And it's March. It's not February. We're almost a whole month past that. I am concerned, or I think, that Tom Brady found out in the ensuing 35 minutes that Tim McCarver died 3 years ago. And he's like, wait, what?
I cannot believe this is happening, Kevin. First off, we're talking about Tom Brady's team right now. And we have a trade. The Raiders are sending
Quay Walker,
Geno Smith, and a 26th seventh round pick to the New York Jets.
Damn it.
In exchange for a 26th sixth round pick.
Wow, that's it? Probably because they said they were going to release him. The Jets are like, hold on. So Geno Smith,
who was drafted by the Jets,
is going back to the Jets.
And is now going back to them for peanuts and being replaced by... You think they're going after that Indiana quarterback? You think that they're interested in him?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think, man.
This is... Oh, poor Geno.
So Geno moves up from a seventh to a sixth round pick. That's what he's worth.
Dude, he left
Back to the Jets.
He was moved on from by the Seahawks.
A level of concern.
And they immediately won a Super Bowl. And now he leaves the terrible Raiders.
My level of concern is as high as could possibly be for Geno Smith. Why he has to go back there.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
That is unfortunate.
And Adam Schefter quotes, as Gino once said, they wrote me off. I ain't right back, though.
Man, I don't know, man. I've become a pretty big proponent of Geno Smith with that Wendy's burn.
You following?
That he dropped on on their corporation.
You need to get your cheese up.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Also, the Packers free agent wide receiver Romeo Doubs is signing with the Patriots. I think Romeo Doubs is a really good receiver and fits perfectly in the Stephon Diggs role for what Drake May is going to need there. So another receiver off the board there, and now Geno no longer with the Raiders.
Poor Geno.
Poor Geno Smith.
The KNC Masters.
We're starting to move now a little bit on this free agency. It seems like some things are starting to happen. It's after lunch on the Tuesday.
Who do you feel worse for? Geno Smith for having to go back to the Jets, or Tom Brady for finding out that Tim McCarver actually died 3 years ago?
Geno.
Okay.
I'll never feel bad for Tom Brady.
Do you just want him to admit, hey, I saw the wrong information.
I screwed up, guys. I'll never write a newsletter again. Why am I writing a newsletter in the first place?
Now that is a great other question. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, assuming there are 9 different tiers of MLB teams heading into 2026, which tier would you put the Rangers in? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
Here's the pitch, swung on, and there's a high drive, well hit. Right center field, Moniak back at the wall. That ball is history. A 3-run Jimmy Jack for Josh Young. Into the Rangers bullpen.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. If we were to go off the assumption that there are 9 tiers of Major League Baseball teams going into this season, which tier would you put the Texas Rangers in? That's T-I-E-R. I want you to contemplate that. Franklin Frankel, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. While you do, couple more notes for you. We didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday because of all the free agency happenings. Is the Rangers put Jordan Montgomery on the 60-day IL. That was always going to be the case. And they were able to go ahead and claim Blanco from Kansas City. He is 32. He has 59 stolen bases and 171 career games with Kansas City in the last 4 years. And his log starts at all 3 of the outfield spots while serving as a pinch runner 64 times. That's the most in Major League Baseball in the last 4 seasons. So I think you can see kind of what the purpose is of that move.
Kevin, I know this is a football conversation that I'm about to throw in there, but it's also a life conversation. Oh. As I was walking in, I saw on one of the shows behind you, Connor McGovern from the Bills. Have you seen what he has done?
No, I know he just got a new deal, right?
Damn right he did. But he's known for his team pizza parties. So upon his press conference for his new deal, he delivered a few pizzas to the media room.
Oh, that's nice.
Be like, hey, guys, thanks for, you know, being nice or whatever. Everybody loves pizza, so.
That is nice. I appreciate him for that.
When people provide you pizza, does it just automatically make you like them a little more?
I used to think that all the time is that when we were covering high school sports, I thought sometimes people gave a more favorable breakdown of what happened in a game because they were excited about the food that they got.
Oh, Plano Senior had the best spread. Like, it was always good stuff, dude. You're right. Yeah. No, there were lots of different places. Berkner always had some pretty good food, too. So, yeah, you got a good point there.
But yes, good move by him right there.
Do you think Wolchuk has any of that Lou Malnati's pizza left over from the trip, or do you think it made its way back?
I feel like that would be more difficult to transfer back or kind of a pain, so probably not.
We need to just build one here then, huh?
Yes, you can order it from them too. It's what? Not the cheapest.
Like Gold Belly?
Yeah, it's not, okay. It's not the cheapest thing in the world. From the 214, I would put them in tier 3 from the 817. I'll keep some hope and say tier 4. All right. From the 469, ouch, tier 9. Only reason is because there's a new coach and it's going to be a process to get the game going. So, assuming there are 9 tiers of teams in baseball this season, what tier would you put the Texas Rangers in?
Probably middle of the pack. And I feel like 5 is a good range.
Okay.
Because I'm assuming like the top tier is the Dodgers.
The top tier.
The Yankees maybe.
The top tier is only the Dodgers.
Okay. All right.
Every other chump team is tier 2 or lower.
Okay. So the chump teams.
It makes sense. MLB.com said when you're the back-to-back champions, you get your own tier.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then when you add to a team that's already completely built, like that team was already built, and they were like, Kyle Tucker, let's add that to the mix.
Right.
Who, obviously, against the Rangers, that's going to be the death of him because he can't do anything in the playoffs against them. But that makes a lot of sense the way that that's constructed. So tier 2, I wouldn't put the Rangers there yet because run production and bullpen are question marks. So like starting pitching feels good. You feel like you have a couple of dudes who are geared up for a good season, but I would not even put them close to tier 2.
Alec, if there are 9 tiers, where would you put the Rangers?
First off, 9 tiers is absurd. That's a lot.
What do you think the max should be? 6?
Yeah.
5?
At best, I think 5 is perfect.
How many is the most amount of tears you think Kevin has shed?
Probably the same number we said, like 5. Sense, yeah.
Just and over his lifespan, it's been one at a time.
Yes, like one singular. It's very poetic.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to see anybody cry, but that's the one time where you're like, that was powerful.
There was a time where it was going to be 6, but he told the tear to go back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to fight them off sometimes.
Just vacuumed right back.
Coming at you like those little Lamisil monsters. You have to just fight them off.
I would.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Jeez.
Back to you, Alec.
I would assume I did this to myself. I can't even be mad. I would honestly lean towards Corey's idea that, like, I don't think they're, like, on the best side. I don't think they're on the worst side. I think they just kind of exist right now. And I feel like what the listener texted in about them being at tier 9 because of a new manager and everything, I think that's what the league thinks in terms of them being like 5 or 6. You know, because it's we don't really know what to expect from new leadership, but we know that they have a couple of star players, so they're at least going to be entertaining.
All right, so from the 972, tier 6, slightly below average. This one said 7 if they hit 4. I like this one from the 469. If they remember how to hit tier 2, if they don't, tier 5. So I'll read you kind of the descriptors as we go along the way. So tier 2 is World Series or bust. And that includes the Blue Jays, Cubs, Mariners, Phillies, Red Sox, Tigers, and Yankees.
That's an extremely fascinating group, that second tier right there. Because you asked me the other day if I'm like rooting for or like look at the Phillies a certain way, and I don't.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays, obviously, there's a lot of hatred there. The Cubs, I mean, I can't root for the Yankees at all, but that is a fascinating group, especially with the Tigers in there and their epic collapse last year.
Yes.
And where they completely stand with Skubal this year. Because it's not they go where Skubal goes, but to have that arm as your lead candidate, always fun.
By the way, Skubal's talk is said today how sad he is.
Dude, it's a different level of baseball
Team USA.
Whenever you're with a group like that.
But fair to assume it makes sense the Rangers are not. They most certainly not World Series or bust this year.
Nope.
Tier 3, non-playoff teams most likely to get there in 2026. Ooh, intriguing. Could we be in that tier? No. What? It is the Braves, Mets, and Orioles. Tier four.
Well, and the Orioles after last year?
I think that because the Orioles have made some moving and a shaking,
yeah.
Starting with Pete Alonso, I think that's probably...
And that could definitely liven that bunch back up. They sure. needed a little bit of a... They had a leadership void there, I think, with the amount of youth that they had in that clubhouse.
Tier four. The we always underrate you and always look bad duo. The Brewers and the Guardians. For most of the year, the Guardians won. That didn't look too bad, but then obviously they made a massive comeback. And it does feel like the Brewers perpetually get underrated. So
lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Oh. We've gone through 13 teams so far and still no Texas Rangers. That moves us in to Tier 5, the 500 zone. Does that feel right to you?
Yeah, that's what they were last year.
That is exactly
right. They were
right.
A 500 zone team. So, yeah, 5 seems – I didn't know that they were a 500. But that fits middle of the pack, right?
It does.
Fits what I've said about the Cowboys over the history here. So, yeah, 500 zone feels like that team.
The 500 zone is teams that would be ranked 14 through 20. So as
middle
close
of the pack,
as
yeah.
you're going to get to middle of the pack. It is the Astros, Diamondbacks, Giants, Padres, Rangers, Rays, and Reds.
The
and
so, Astros.
Yeah.
Okay, we talked about this with Kennedy while we were there, and I was like, is this division winnable? And she said, absolutely it is. And the discussion about the Astros, why do I just look at them as something in the way?
Because
like they're a giant problem in the way.
Yeah, because they made it to 7 straight ALCS.
In the year last year, we thought they should be down. The Rangers were down, and they were good again.
Yeah, but not so good that you can't think they're ready to slide all of the way back. And I mean, honestly, this division is the Mariners and nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like teams that you feel like you know are going to be good, though, who's to say in the magical world of sports? But I don't think you look at any of the other teams in this division and you're like, on paper, they should be awesome.
Yeah, no, I think you got a really good point there, man.
But that's where you
Padres
fit.
Padres are so weird to me, though.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Because at midseason, they're going to make a trade for everything.
Yeah, their team could look completely different. But it's got to be kind of dispiriting to them to be stuck in the 500 zone as well. And after that, tier 6, what if you have a top 5 pitcher and hitter zone? That's the Royals and the Pirates, but what else you got? Tier 7, on the right track, should be a lot of fun to watch. The A's and the Marlins. Tier 8, lots of losses ahead, but finally headed in the right direction. The Cardinals, Rockies, we'll see about that. Nationals and White Sox. In the Tier 9, what's the path forward? That's the Twins and the Angels.
Dude, that...
The Angels farm system is in tatters. Has
yeah.
been for a minute.
So the Twins also?
Yep.
We know exactly what the path forward is. Get the kid from Little Big League to sell the team finally. All right. His grandpa gave him the team. Mm. He probably didn't deserve it, you know, but he made some strides
sure.
forward. And he had Kevin Elster. So, like, what else could you ask for?
How many people know who Kevin Elster is?
If you're a Rangers fan, you better damn sure know who Kevin Elster
okay.
is. A dude could throw from his elbow harder than most pitchers. And remember that time that he hit that one down the right field line and Damon Buford slid into home? God, it was nice. What a time to be alive.
I have to admit, I've not seen that movie in a while, but I
that
believe
was actually
you.
In real life Rangers.
Oh, okay.
Stuff.
I thought you were still describing Little Big League. I just remember the Ken Griffey Jr. part. But, all right, so that's where the Rangers sit. A couple of more Rangers notes. Andrew McCutchen. He had 3 at-bats yesterday. Rangers 4-1 win over San Diego.
All home runs.
Yeah, they were not all home runs.
Okay.
But I do have good news for you. Now, it doesn't matter really that they won, but Andrew McCutchen, he had a double. And he had 2 balls that left the bat over 100 miles per hour. He took a pair of full counts and saw 16 pitches overall in 3 at-bats. So feels like it was a good start for somebody who could be like a platoon DH. Ryan Nimmo. Ryan Nimmo.
Brandon.
Sorry. I don't know why I said that. Brandon Nimmo.
Forgotten child.
He goes, look, I need to be on the field, and I need to really make the regular season the most important thing. And so he talked about, like, how to balance that out. And he goes, look, when I was playing center field, it was already heavy, 162-game schedule. Plus, if you're going to be in the playoffs, you're thinking 185 games or so. So that's part of their ramp-up scenario. You know, we were talking about how, like, it took a minute for Langford and DeGrom and Nimmo. And he said that was all part of the plan, because instead of adding another 30 games in spring, let's be really specific about the way they do this and make sure he's ready for the regular season and hopefully the playoffs to get all his attention, because you could be playing another 185 games.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, having him in right field and your dugouts on the first base side, I'm dead serious when I say this. I think that's a difference. If your dugout's on the first base side, and you have more games in right field at home, you're jogging a shorter distance and putting less tread on your knees. I'm just saying, it's an important thing for Nimmo. We need to preserve his body, because that dude plays tough.
Okay, well, it looks like they're moving in the right direction.
I like it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Took the game in. Sends this ball a mile. How far will it fly for Roman Anthony? Off the face into the second deck. 5-0 U.S.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, where we always give you the best draft pick to NFL pro comps. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, is you today?
Terrific, Hagee. How are you?
Man, I'm doing really, really good. I wanted to know, this is a question that Corey brought up, and we didn't really get a chance to discuss it on air.
Do we want to add defensive tackle A'shaun Robinson to the largest defensive tackle pool in the history of the planet?
I mean, I want us to get more defensive tackles and the Browns to get more quarterbacks.
Gotcha.
That's like my goal for this offseason as much as possible. Do you ever look at the flight attendants when they're doing their safety deal, so they feel like they're doing something for the people?
Depends on how close I am to one of them. If I feel like I'm sitting up close and I feel like, okay, I'm sort of more obligated to act like I'm paying attention. But if I'm a few rows deep into this thing, I don't pay them any mind at all. My headphones are in. I'm giving no attention.
Do you feel like if there was some sort of accident, you would know what to do?
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah, like we talked about, you just got to hope the plane is ripped in the part where you can jump out. You know, if you have to crawl over somebody to get there, you might have to do that too.
He does.
He's pretty self-explanatory there with the handles. You know, there's only a couple of different things you could do. I think I got it covered.
I did feel like the other day on the Airbus, though, Dawson, I had to reclassify
myself.
Yeah,
some
myself.
Of them are unique.
I looked at the door like, okay, I got to pop that cover off. By the way, it was me and another older gentleman. And he was in the opposite. I mean, I had an exit row to myself. And I looked at the other gentleman. I'm thinking, okay, he's not going to be able to get the door off.
He's overestimating himself.
Yeah.
You know, some of these guys in their 80s, they think they still got it. They won't let go.
I'm surprised they let him sit there. I'm surprised they let him sit there.
But to answer your question, Hagee, the planes are doing such a good job of turning the Wi-Fi on early now that as soon as I sit down, I'm in their free entertainment looking for a movie.
Okay.
And I'm getting locked in.
Okay.
That is actually a really valid point right there. I didn't think about that.
I feel obligated again myself, because sitting in exit row, you're right there where they're at. I've even been asked to help hold gear. Belt,
really?
What? Belt has been put in my lap.
Old gear.
I've held the life jacket.
Like, I've held that. This for me.
I've the safety card. I've held it all.
I've been asked to help hold gear.
I have. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was not.
Jack of all trades, Brian Rodas.
Man, I was not anticipating that.
Teacher's I just feel pet. Bad sometimes when I kind of look around and everybody's heads down, and I'm like, I got it. I have to look at them.
They know.
So they
figured it out.
Changing lives.
You end up holding gear like that, Majors.
the other day we had the that was like AI talk. Like they said, hey, if you have to get out of the plane, you know, we had that.
Oh,
one.
Yeah, that was kind of neat.
We didn't have somebody like on Southwest Airlines, like, well, after you're done screaming, then put the vest on yourself. And, you know, Southwest tries to make it a joke.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, they do bits.
Yeah, they're like, you know, after you stop breathing, grab somebody else's mask, put it on your face, you know.
Now, United will hijack your audio feed and pause your movie.
Yeah, they will.
All the announcements, you know, come in. And so that's, you know, another reason you fly American or Southwest.
I like that.
I saw your favorite airline the other day, Dawson. We were walking by Frontier.
The big F on it.
They were screaming your name.
Don't you bleeping dare.
The big F.
Last bleeping resort.
F right off.
Okay, hold on. Is the ranking Frontier's lowest and then
Spirit?
Spirit, then JetBlue?
Yeah. Spirit actually has the highest safety ratings.
Look at that.
That's one cool thing about them. I've never had any problems with Spirit. They could be just as bad as Frontier, but I think the unique problem with Frontier is they don't have any actual gates, right? So if you get off schedule, you can be out there for 3, 4, 5 hours.
Oh, no.
Waiting for them to temporarily lease somebody's gate so they can drop you off.
You ever thought about just like opening the door and letting that slide come down, just jump down that thing?
I would love that. I'm pretty sure you'd get fined and arrested for that.
You would. Real quick, let's go to Alec. He has got Daniel Jones news for us.
There are no numbers yet from Jordan Schultz, but he's the first with it that they have reached a long-term deal the Colts have with quarterback Daniel Jones.
Did he get the $50 million he wanted?
He just said there's probably not.
Yeah. No, I know. That's like the rhetorical question of like at some point we'll find out, won't
we? No numbers.
Will we find out at some point, though?
I wonder what he's going to be paid.
We will get these numbers.
Yeah. Probably.
No, there's numbers.
He held all the leverage, man.
All right. Now, earlier in the show, we were doing a commercial, and you ran in to yell something at us about the most kick-ass movie you've seen recently.
Kick-ass.
No, that makes sense. But a movie that is filled with ass-kicking.
Schultz deleted the tweet, by the way.
Whoa! Yeah, I think he got ball-sacked on this one, boys.
That's why there's no number.
What was the number?
What was the last? Because I just finally saw the first Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze. I've heard a lot of people text in and said,
I was bored that you had not seen that before.
I know, me too.
Wow.
You're finally an American.
I guess so. A lot of people said, do not see the new one. But I've only seen the Patrick Swayze one. I thought it was super fun. What's the last, like, turn your brain off, ass-kicking movie that you're like, this is awesome?
It was just over the weekend. It was War Machine on Netflix.
Is that Netflix?
Oh, it was good?
Watched that one, too.
With the Jack Reacher guy?
Yeah.
Or Thad Castle?
So, you know? You'd watch Reacher? Have you watched it?
I haven't watched Reacher.
Okay, because Reacher's fantastic. Him as Reacher. So I was wondering, like, how good he is in this role.
I think he's kind of in that place where it's just a copy and paste situation.
Okay.
We're going to change sort of the location of where you are, but you're the same guy.
Yeah.
You know, they might as well have been calling him Jack in this movie.
Yeah, all right.
But he was pretty dang dominant. Wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
And that robot thing, that looked like one of the all-time incredible adversaries in a movie. Okay? Like, villains, this particular robot is as impressive as anything you'll ever find.
Ooh.
You don't want to get caught in a wilderness with this robot.
Okay.
Unless, of course, you're Jack Reacher.
Yeah. Or John Wick.
What about for you guys?
I
guess it might be that same
War Machine.
Movie,
right? Movie War Machine.
You liked it, right? You liked it?
Yeah, I liked it.
It was solid.
It was perfect. I don't think it's going to win any awards.
No.
But as far as like, we need a movie to watch for a couple of hours, I think it checks all the boxes.
Sometimes I feel like people get too caught up on awards. Like, just make a fun movie that people are going to have a good time at.
Yeah, yeah, and don't give me too much love story. And you've really knocked it out of the park for me.
There was like no love. Pull
that off.
Yeah.
I also watched She Rides Shotgun, which is a daddy-daughter movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
And he had to kick a lot of ass.
I'm in on that.
You know, guy just gets out of jail.
Yeah.
Who's he?
Organized crime chasing him down.
Do we recognize the main actor in it?
I don't think so.
Really?
Is that not the Eddie the Eagle guy? Edgerton?
Oh, Taron Egerton?
Yeah, it is.
He's a singing ape.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Right?
That is true.
Excuse me, what did you say?
Versatility.
Yes.
Rocket Man.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're putting down. Violent Night, I watched.
Yeah, that movie is fun.
That was, I saw it over the holidays. It's incredibly badass. The sequel's actually coming out. And David Harbour is just a Santa that is out of work that just goes and kicks ass. But he also might actually be Santa. He's
got the magic. How does he treat Eleven in that movie?
She's not in it, shockingly.
Okay, yeah. So he's completely boxed her out.
Hopefully not
he's
just totally not gone. The same way as in real life, right?
Well, she's dead now. Thanks for asking, Aaron.
But what about the rest of the kids? How is he, has he bring them along?
No, or? none of them made an appearance. I think he was really trying to shield them.
Divorced
as Santa.
From...
He's just disowning
she's
all of them.
Still around.
Okay.
You just hear a phone call from her.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. Thanks. And he's drunk.
Oh, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. There was a FaceTime.
A lot
scene.
Of cocaine bear action coming in, Kevin, based on your suggestions.
Cocaine bear. Here's my issue with cocaine bear.
And then nobody. So
I'm waiting for that documentary.
The bear didn't kill enough people. I thought the bear...
You didn't think he killed enough
people? No, because there's
too many humans
killing humans. I thought the bear was just going to run wild and murder everybody.
Fair.
But it ended up being too many humans killing humans. And I was like, I could see that in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
I don't see too many cocained up bears.
When he was killing them, was he like clubbing them and clawing them and launching them?
He was seeking more
cocaine. Was he biting heads off?
There was definitely some biting because I remember teeth and blood.
I don't remember him running up on a picnic.
Do you actually see him with like a key and like a little card and like a coffee table?
He's not an intelligent bear that's like smarter than your average bear, and that's how he's able to outwit everybody. He's just a rage bear.
Okay, so he's not sneaking off into the bathroom and finding opportunities to...
No, it's just like a pile of dust and boom, here you go.
Okay,
in your face.
I gotcha. Yeah.
He found packets that had been trafficked, right?
Yeah.
There was some sort
of... Yeah, there was like a big pallet that fell off a plane.
There was one time where I do believe he licked his gums, though, and he was like, what's this sensation?
So, he kind of rubbed him with his finger.
Yeah.
That makes him an addict. I think that's a great addict.
It sounds
sign
like
right
he wasn't
or just
trying
a hell
to
of a Saturday night, Kevin.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. What do you find, fellas, got coming up on the program today?
We're tracking day two of free agency, getting all the updates right out of the gates here with our insiders, and Nick Harris is going to join us at 4:00 here. Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking.
Do you feel bad for Geno Smith getting sent back to the Jets?
I'm sure there's upside for him. You know, I think he's had a great run.
Yeah.
Made a lot of money, so I think he's won. And now it's just to go where all quarterbacks go to die.
The Jets. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation or Pittsburgh. We have in the KNC Masterpiece.
Cleveland.
Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 through the Fan.
It was a female bear, Kevin.
Oh.
And that's why we gave the women an extra hour today.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with a Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.